The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids. Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings and welcome. Finally, Richard and I are in a room where we belong, one that's padded. It's the Altitude Studios, the location of the latest Rapids podcast, episode number 250, the first one in the last month of the year. Coming up in our show, we'll track down the former Rapids defender, Chris Martinez, who is now Development Academy Program Director. With Chris, we'll talk the DA Winners Showcase and preview MLS Cup, 20 years on from a final that he appeared in. Our review of the year will continue. We've reached June, and there will be a new name in charge of U.S. soccer after Sunil Gulati announced he would not stand for re-election. First, though, new head coach Anthony Hudson held a fan Q&A last Friday and offered a little glimpse into what we can expect from the Rapids in 2018.
There's a few key players we need to bring in, and I think the most important thing when we're looking at them is experience, quality, and the right characters. So, I think there's probably two or three of those that we're looking at now, and then obviously fill in the rest of the squad with good players.
Because sometimes, certainly in the five or so years that I've been on, five or so seasons, the Rapids have occasionally been accused of being, I mean, they're good guys, they're nice guys. You want somebody with a bit of an edge out there, somebody with a bit of a spark.
Yeah, look, I've said that all along. I think, the players that we're talking about and looking at, one of the biggest things that they have to have is an edge. We want players that want to win. I love players who have an edge about them. Bit of a nasty streak in the sense that just aggressive and positive and brave and not afraid and wants to win and, strong characters. Yeah. So definitely they're top of my list. We're not going to be a nice team. Yeah. We don't want to be a nice team.
How many players are you planning on signing in the next few months? It could be a busy few months.
Be very busy. I think probably, anywhere between 9 and 11 players that we're looking at signing. And we've just come from a scouting meeting now, myself, Porig and Chris, and Mitch is over in Europe at the moment. So there's a lot of discussions at the moment with some of the targets we're talking about and looking at and in communication with are exciting. So we're in a good place at the moment.
What is your first priority in positions? Where are the key areas and where you're going to target first?
Well, I think it's a clear one in this league. We need a goal scorer. We need more up front. In terms of how I want to play, I always really want to play with two strikers. I think that's a big focus. I love playing with wing backs. And to do that well, again, it comes back to the mentality and the character of not just pace and quality and technical ability, but in terms of the character of being aggressive and wanting to get forward and create things and be positive. So they're the important things. So they're the sort of key positions. And obviously a little bit of midfield we need to. Your philosophy is based upon the end picture of how you want to look as a team, how you want to play, what's the end result like, and what you want to give the fans. That's the end goal is that. And then along the way you have experiences, you get tested in certain ways, and then it just starts tweaking and you start adapting, and over time it's constantly evolving. But certainly that's why I'm where I am now. I really like having two strikers. I really like having numbers in the midfield. And I like wingbacks.
There is new head coach Anthony Hudson, who will be at the Celtic on market this Saturday, joining C38 at the start of their viewing party for MLS Cup. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Colorado Rapids 2018 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on the action as the Rapids take the field for 17 home matches at Dick's Sporting Goods Park next season.
And it's Marlon Hairston in the blink of an eye. They're back on level terms. This is some contest.
Go to ColoradoRapids.com to find out about the exclusive season ticket member benefits, including meet the team party, game day experiences, and stadium discounts. Go to ColoradoRapids.com.
Welcome back. The schedule for the new season, we understand, will be out in early January. New players, new coaches ahead of the new season, all reason to eagerly anticipate 2018. First, though, we have to put the 2017 season to bed. MLS Cup is again at BMO Field and again involving Toronto FC and defending champion Seattle Sounders. That's live on ESPN this Saturday at 2:30 Mountain Time. Richard Fleming joins me now. Same two teams. Does this dispel the boast of parity that we like to sort of trumpet within Major League Soccer?
Well, this is the third time in MLS history the same two teams have met a year later in the finale. Houston and New England back-to-back finalists in 06 and 07. LA played the Dynamo 2011-2012. But you note about parity, there isn't parity within MLS. There are the mechanisms in place for parity, but it's then how each franchise applies these mechanisms themselves. Secondly, the schedule itself is not even fair. It would be if everybody played each other home and away, but they don't. And then, of course, the showcase event, the MLS Cup, is played on the ground of the team with the best record in the regular season. So one of the two finalists has home field advantage, the very opposite of parity. In short, the idea of MLS being a competition built on parity is a myth, and I think it's one we need to kick into the long grass.
Well, there's talk of whichever team wins on Saturday being labeled the best ever team in MLS. I would think that that can only go to Toronto FC having the best regular season and then capping that off with an MLS Cup win. Where do you stand?
This is an impossible, it's a debate that springs up in all forms of sport. It's an impossible one to compare, though. When you're comparing whether it's players, whether it's teams throughout history, it always makes for a lively discussion. But ultimately, it's futile. Let's not forget, the role of those pushing this very narrative is to build hype around the game. I get that. But different times, different circumstances, different players, different teams, many will try to compare Pelé to Maradona. They'll look to compare the Brazil team of the 1970 World Cup to Germany of 2014 or Spain of 2010. It's a nice chat over a beer, but to me it's nothing more. And it will continue. As long as we play sport, as long as great players and great teams come along, we'll always look back through misty eyes and look to compare them to some of the greats. But different times, different teams, different players. And as I say, I think it's a futile but always an enjoyable discussion to be had.
The most important question of these three, will you be watching on Saturday?
I will be. I've got to go to Disney on Ice first off, Saturday morning.
Priorities.
Absolutely, but I will be back in time for the game at 2:30. And I, for one, I'd love to see Toronto win that, and that's not because of what Seattle did to the Rapids in 2016 or because Seattle won it last year and we don't want to see another team win it 2 years in a row. But, of course, with our connection, Drew Moore, who's a good friend of ours, and Clint Irwin, who's not had the year that he would have hoped. That's kind of the burden that a goalkeeper has to carry, that if you're injured and you miss out or you lose a bit of form, then you're on the sidelines. But for those two guys, Drew Moore, Clint Irwin, two guys who think deserve success at the weekend.
Well, now attention will turn to the rebuilding for 2018. There's the very bizarre half-day trade window on Sunday, followed by the expansion draft next Tuesday, and then the waiver draft the day after. We will have reaction to any movement by the Rapids in next week's podcast. And so to our review of the year. This week, we've reached the month of June. Richard Fleming tells the story.
Thanks very much, Connor. Yeah, six games were played by the Rapids in June, with four in the league and a further two in the Lamar Hunt US Open Cup. The match against Sporting Kansas City at the end of May, which ended 1-0 to the Rapids, had been the first of five at home in both competitions. Narrow victories followed in the next three, and Alan Gordon played a part in the two league wins over Columbus Crew SC on June the 3rd and against Portland Timbers 14 days later.
The space now for Higuain, takes a deflection, and Federico Higuain has scored for Columbus Crew SC in the cruelest of fashions. Gashi to save, Hairston should be easy, absolutely as simple as you like. Gordon, oh he has, you know, Alan Gordon may just have got the winner. Vitas on his outside, he's going to go it alone, you know, oh! What a goal! Now in the inside left channel. Badju's got the speed. Has he got the touch? There's your answer! In the middle. Oh, he's done it again, you know! Would you believe it? His name is Alan Gordon, and he just loves scoring late.
In between those two wins came a dramatic 3-2 victory over Oklahoma City Energy in the Open Cup. There were first goals in Rapids colours in that game for Eric Miller and Dennis Castillo. Now, having started the month with three wins, the up-and-down nature of the Rapid season would show its ugly side in the remaining three games. A struggling LA Galaxy rode their luck early on in a midweek affair, and despite Dylan Serna's goal levelling matters before the interval, the Galaxy would walk out of Commerce City with a 3-1 win. Thoughts post-game of the Rapid scorer.
Josh was causing a lot of problems in the first half on the left-hand side, and I told him, you know, once he beats one, two guys, the back post is wide open, and he found me on one and I put it away. I think we had confidence going into halftime. We fought back and we got the goal, but I think they had a bit more possession coming into the second half, and once they got the second goal, you know, we couldn't really recover and we were trying to push too much, and they ended up getting the third.
Quick turnaround, you guys head to Atlanta tomorrow to play this weekend. What's it going to take to get the first win on the road this season?
I think just we can't let this happen again, and I think we're going to have a fire under us and go into Atlanta, so we're going to bounce back and we're looking for 3 points.
As mentioned by Serna there, this was followed by a first ever meeting with league newcomers Atlanta United FC on June the 24th. The Rapids had their chances, but Joseph Martinez settled matters with the game's only goal. The reaction from Rapids goalkeeper Tim Howard.
It's a very, very small pitch. You know, certainly one of the smallest we're going to play on. They put you under a ton of pressure. $30 million up front in attacking power, and they proved to be worth it tonight. You know, we did everything we could. I thought we were resilient. You know, they make it tough to get out. They press you well, and they take care of the ball. So a little bit lopsided on the possession, but that's the way they do it to many teams. So proud of the performance and the effort, and we nearly nicked one in the end. A player like him with time and space in the box, you know, again, our guys are sliding in, trying to make it difficult. I think the obvious thing is to criticize, you know, in football, but when you play against good players, they put you under pressure and they make it really tough. And credit to him for staying patient and finishing in the box. You know, in football, you got to be good at both ends. You got to be clinical. But I thought we held them out as best we could. We tried to frustrate them. I thought we did. And in the end, their talent shined through.
A month which had begun with a hint of a turnaround ultimately ended in more disappointment as the Rapids fell in the Open Cup 3-1 at FC Dallas. Michael Azira scored his first goal for the club, but the Rapids had Axel Schuberg, Dylan Powers and Shkelson Gashi limp off and Courtney Ford sent off. They'd finished the game in Dallas with just 9 men. They'd finished the month knowing there was work to be done in the second half of the season.
Excellent job as always by Richard Fleming. Next, we have an interview with former player Chris Martinez, now Development Academy Program Director. He's been speaking to Dylan Cannon after a few days away in the Sunshine State.
Chris, you all just got back from the Winter Showcase. Just talk about that whole experience for you and the both sides out there.
No, it was a phenomenal experience. Obviously, both groups playing 3 different sides, seeing three different styles of play, really, and dealing with the managing of that many minutes in that short amount of time and everything that goes into it. So all things considered, it was a very successful week.
The U16-17 side had quite the run. Not only did they win every match, but they didn't concede a goal. How proud are you to see, you know, them put up a performance like that?
No, that was fantastic. Obviously, kind of the opposite with our older bunch, but no, to be a part and to watch and be on staff for those games, it was a huge confidence builder from game one all the way through the final match, and they're very organized. They worked hard for one another, stuck to the game plan, dealt with the heat and managing the minutes as well, so it really was a fantastic accomplishment for that bunch.
Like you said, you would have liked to have seen the older group do a little better. But are those experiences something that can be, you know, a good learning moment and a good teaching moment for them to, you know, take moving forward as you head into some of the bigger tournaments in the rest of the season?
Sure. No, it was a great learning experience. Heading into the showcase, we were missing a couple key players, starting players, you know, over the course of the fall season. So for us, we always preach next man up. You know, we are a team. It's about the team and not the individual player, but definitely had to navigate through some formation systems of play, you know, putting guys in tough situations where they haven't been, you know, prior in the season. So, you know, all things considered, scored some fantastic goals and gave up some goals that we typically would not have. So, once again, you know, I think it was beneficial in the long run to be in great spots in all the matches. And unfortunately, I think we could have won a couple where we didn't, But at the same time, I think there's a lot to build on.
And there was one game where you guys were down 3-1 at one point, came back to finish 4-4. Just talk about the resiliency, and from a DA perspective as a coach, that's got to make you pretty proud to see that that team did not give up.
The first time all season, we had been behind by 2 goals. So, you know, once again, just roll the sleeves up, continued to fight, and we got back into the match and actually took the lead. And hats off to Crossfire there. Game-tying goal was an absolute bomb side netting. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, once again, lots of different of emotions, you know, over the course of that match. But, again, a lot to build on.
Now, before heading into the Winter Showcase, what were you hoping that both sides would be able to take away from, you know, a learning perspective and then, you know, a soccer perspective as well?
Sure, you know, heading down to that platform is as good as it gets as far as exposure, competition, these types of things. There were several U.S. national team staff members in attendance, tons of college coaches. So we talked to our boys about performing at your highest level when the lights are on.
Right.
So I think we had some fantastic performances along the way, and also the ability to for these coaches to see some perseverance based on some unfortunate things that took place, and, you know, just a lot of good stuff.
Now, like you said, these types of tournaments are always a special moment. I mean, they get to travel, it's extra team bonding. But instead of facing Colorado teams again and again, how good is it to get that exposure to face some teams, you know, outside of the local market and face some new competition?
Oh, it's invaluable. In fact, the 19s played Toronto FC in Game 3. Toronto FC doesn't even compete in the Development Academy League. They play in a local Canadian league. So we had zero film on them, just scouting report. Chris Cartledge did a fantastic job. He went and watched their first match and was able to deliver that information to the staff, you know, which in turn we were able to deliver to the boys, to the team itself. So, no, it's great. You line up, there's no familiarity. You haven't seen these players prior. And as you said, you're playing local matches year after year, see the same faces, it can be redundant. Yeah. So it was a breath of fresh air.
Where is the DA heading, not just in the next coming weeks, but, you know, moving forward for the rest of the season, other big tournaments, other things coming up?
Well, right now we're heading into not quite the halfway season, but it's a break. We won't play again until early February. And I think if you look at where we were at last summer with the 19s, or the 18s then, going to the Final Four, our 16s making it to the quarterfinals, and to fast forward to now, you know, going into this break, 19s are in second place in the conference, the 17s are in second place, our 15s are as well. So we're starting to see some sustainability. So obviously it's a good start. There's a ton to do. And, you know, we have our team goals and club goals as well. And it's just head down, hard work on the daily, and hopefully we'll find ourselves in a position back in the playoffs come June.
Now we're going to switch gears just a bit and move away from the DA. But obviously MLS Cup is on Saturday. This is the 20-year mark of your cup run against DC United. What do you remember about that game, playing at RFK, just everything there as a whole?
No, that obviously was the pinnacle of my career. Just very exciting the way we got there, first of all, but just everything about the game itself. Pouring rain, there were probably 55, 60,000 fans there. Blizzard back home in Colorado, so a lot of our fans weren't able to make it, so it was certainly, you know, pro DC United. The crowd was rocking. In fact, it was difficult to hear each other on the field. Just everything about it was very special.
What was the build-up like, you know, from a training perspective, the buzz around the city, and how do you think that compares to where we are now building up to MLS Cup matches?
Right, right. No, I think, you know, obviously for, you know, 1997,
right,
to have that type of support, that crowd certainly helped that DC United was playing at home. But to see where that type of situation is fairly standard now in some of our markets in the league, the growth has been phenomenal. It's going to continue to grow, and it just bodes well for the young players we're developing now.
Finally, let's tie all of these back together. LAFC is coming in next year. That brings the league total to 23. Eventually, we're going to get to 28 teams. Some people say that could dilute the product, obviously. You're getting more players involved who may not be in the league right now. But you could also look at it as this is a way to really grow the development academies. How big can the DA systems, not just here but around the league, be to create a sustainable product, not just now but for the long-term future as well, to really grow this league?
No, absolutely. Obviously, with more teams and organizations coming into the league, brings more opportunity. And I think it's a hot topic now, as we all know, but the ability to scout, to identify top players that are not currently playing in environments like ours is massive. And it's how we go about doing so and then providing that correct environment for them to flourish, to potentially play at the highest level.
Absolutely. Perfect, Chris. Appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
There is Chris Martinez talking to our Dylan Gannon. And now, parting shot. This part of the Rapids podcast brought to you by Lunasul Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques. Lunasul Tequila, one sip and you know. Richard Fleming, what do you know?
Well, you mentioned it earlier. Sunil Gulati has announced this week he'll not be seeking re-election when his third term as president of the US Soccer Federation expires. It has become clear in recent times, and of course more so since the US failed to qualify for next year's World Cup, that a fresh approach was needed. The old guard had gone stale and a change of direction required. But for those rejoicing as Mr. Gulati prepares to step down, a word of caution, the man at the helm during this tough time for the senior men's national team will remain a figure of influence. He will, after all, retain his prized position on the FIFA Council, and he's heading the charge to bring the 2026 World Cup to the United States. In other words, how much change will be brought about, irrespective of who the new USSF president is, if Gulati is still lurking. Furthermore, and this is something for presidential candidates Kathy Carter and Carlos Cordero to consider as friends of Gulati's, is how they'll be perceived. Meanwhile, Ms. Carter, as former president of Soccer United Marketing, the marketing arm of Major League Soccer, could be viewed, as reported at great length, as the preferred choice of both Mr. Gulati and MLS. Now, don't get me wrong, the game does need more women in positions of power, and certainly the sport has flourished during Sunil Gulati's tenure, but of course, as it has globally. The problem here is that soccer has long been viewed, and certainly in the higher echelons, as something of an old pals act, and many observers have been critical of that, particularly with FIFA and, of course, it dripping down. One, though, that US soccer has to be careful not to continue as it seeks a fresh start with fresh faces and, of course, fresh ideas.
Richard Fleming bringing you another delightful parting shot. And that brings us to the end, a merciful end, of another Rapids podcast. May the best team win this weekend, hopefully Toronto FC. We're just kidding. Toronto FC and Seattle Sounders battle for MLS Cup. We, meanwhile, will be back next week with another edition of this gorgeous, pretty thing with the two of us lunkheads. Until then, thanks. We appreciate it as always. Have a wonderful week, and it's goodbye.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.